Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Whole Life. My name is Ken Wetmore. I'm the lead pastor here at the church, and we are just so delighted that you're worshiping with us today. I want you to think about your answer to this question I'm going to ask. And you just, if I ask you, do you want the good news or the bad news? Which one do you want first? No. Oh, see, you guys are so, you're ahead of me. I need you to turn to someone near you, preferably somebody you don't know well. Welcome them to church, tell them you're glad they're here, and then tell them which you prefer and why. 10 seconds, go. All right, for those of you who are counting out 10 seconds, that was more than 10 seconds, so I need to get your attention right back up here. And I'm going to need you to go ahead and take the volume down. And there's an important reason why I need you to take the volume down. Here's why. Today I have prepared two sermons. One's called The Good News, and the other is called The Bad News. So which one do you want first? Okay, so you're going to actually get a chance to vote on what sermon I'm going to preach. And I'm not going to tell you what we did in first service because I don't want to flavor this. So you only get to clap or cheer once, okay? You got to cheer for the one that you want. Don't cheer for the other. So we're going to cheer or clap for one. There's going to be a decibel meter up there, and we're going to see which one goes a little higher, all right? So Sonny, which one are we going to do first? Okay, so Sonny wants us to cheer. If you want the bad news first, I want you to clap or applaud or cheer right now. All right. That was pretty substantial. If you want the good news, cheer or clap right now. Wow, I didn't have to tell this group to stop. Okay. All right. So which one is it? Oh, you think you know which it is, don't you? No, you don't. We have people who watch online. We got to find out what they voted for. Hey, Matthew, you've been online. What did people online vote for?
Yes, and of course, we took the different approach and asked our online family to, if you want to know the good news, give us a thumbs up, or the bad news, thumbs down. So the numbers came in, and it looks like the masses have chosen the good news. Thumbs up.
Okay, so we've got a problem. In-house wants the bad news. Am I right, Sonny? Is that what the in-house did? People watching online want the good news. And so, Melanie, that we're going to break it with our podcast. We do a podcast every week, and we actually teased it ahead of time and asked them to tell us, what did the podcast people say they wanted? Podcast people wanted the bad news, so they're with the in-house group. It's bad news today. You picked it. Remember that later. All right, let's bow our heads as we pray. Lord, we want to thank you here. We thank you that whether it's good news or bad news, you're there with us. And today, as we celebrate you, as we spend time with you and the body of Christ, we pray that we would be drawn closer to you. We pray that you would know you more deeply and that we would grow in our relationship with you and with others. We pray in your name. Amen. Let's continue our worship.
As I look up through what used to be Janet's roof and look at her bed that's now waterlogged, walk through her home and look at all the devastation that is surrounding me, It's hard to believe that Janet could be thankful, but she says that she is. This is the most visible job on an aircraft carrier.
It remains to be seen whether Madeline Bordaglio's bill will actually make it here for a vote, but she says it really doesn't matter whether it makes it here for a vote. For 4 hours, Lieutenant Chargaloff spoke with the man who had barricaded himself into the third floor apartment here at the C building of Pacific Towers. He says that they spoke about the things that they had in common.
This is the last flight for the CH-46. However, it's far from the last flight for the HC-5 squadron. We're riding on the future.
During the fiscal year 05 budget battle, there couldn't have been more distance between the legislature and the governor. It has been a long and uphill battle. Cars like this one that stalled out aren't a deterrent for people here at Pago Bay. They still keep trying to cross despite the flooding. In fact, there's a car that's stalled out now as we speak, but as you can see, there are more cars that are trying to make it across.
Look at that guy. Reporters. Yeah, for those of you who didn't know, I had a 4-year stint as a radio news reporter on the island of Guam. That was 20 plus years ago. And I gotta tell you, I've always loved the news, just always. Before I worked in news, when I worked in news, and even today, I love the news. I enjoy it. I'm a news junkie. I love that stuff. And working in the news was eye-opening. Because before I worked in the news, I kind of had this idea of what news was. But then when you go and work in news, you kind of get a different idea of what news is. So today, if you're expecting me to tell you that news, the news media, are the bad news, I'm not going to do that. I like the news media. I know some of you have different feelings about it, but I do. A lot of them are my friends. I have friends still in that industry from when I worked on lowly Guam. They're now at Washington Post and other great places. So these are people I know, people I love, and people I care about. So if you're expecting me to say the news is bad, I'm not going to tell you that. The news reports bad things, but I don't believe that across the board the news is bad. I think it comes from many of us having a misunderstanding about how news works. So let me tell you a little bit about the behind the scenes of a news reporter's life 20 years ago on the island of Guam. Small caveats, right? So I'll tell you a little bit about my life. I would get about 7:30 in the morning, and I would look at what the newspaper had reported was putting out that morning. On the drive to work, I listened to news talk radio to hear what kind of conversation. When I got into work, I would jump on my computer, because this was before you had the computer on your phone, and I would look up what was on the Drudge Report, which was the first thing I was taught when I became a reporter. I remember the first day in the newsroom, I said, "So what am I reporting on?" And my news director said, "What's on Drudge?" And I said, I'm not going to read his. He said, "No." She said, "Just look at the stories that are on Drudge, and then we're going to localize them. In other words, we're going to find a way to bring in a national news story and make it a localized story. We're going to relate it to people here." And so that's what I would generally do. I'd look at Drudge Report, see what was going on there, see if there's anything that impacted our community that I could kind of create a tie to. Then I would look at what my boss, the news director, had put on my assignments for the day. Usually I'd given her several news story ideas for that day, the day before. She went through and looked at them, and she kind of ranked them. This is the one I want to be your top story that you work on. In the television news, it's called the package. It's the bigger, it's the longer version of your story. And so she said, "This is the big story I want, and then here's the 4 or 5 other stories that I want you to go cover, get information on, and make sure it's on the news this evening." And so after I'd kind of digested all that, I'd make a few phone calls, make sure if I hadn't already lined up interviews the day before, I'd line up those interviews, jump in a vehicle with one of my videographers, and off we would go around. Usually I was trying to be out of the office by 10 o'clock, and go do interviews, take notes, because these are the days before you could actually write your news story on your phone. You couldn't do it then. You had to have a pad of paper, and then you'd come back to the office. If everything was going great, I'd be back at the office at 2. If everything was going horrible, I'd be back about 4 or 4:30. And if I got back at 4 or 4:30, I had about 30 minutes to type as fast as I could while my editor screamed over my shoulder, "Faster, faster, you dumb person, you," or something to that effect. because at 6 o'clock, the news starts. And if you're not ready at six, it's going to go, it doesn't go tomorrow. You just wasted a full day of your salary and you will get yelled at. So you got to be ready at six. So you got to give your editor time to edit the story. You have to do your voiceovers and all that. And so about 6 o'clock, I would put my suit jacket on because eventually I got to the place where I was the co-anchor of the 6 o'clock news on KUAM News, Channel 8, rah, rah, rah. So I'd put my news jacket, because we were a small station, so I would co-anchor with the news director, who was my boss, and we would do that till about 7 o'clock, and then I would go hang out with my friends for a little bit afterwards and then go home, and that was a day. So that's what kind of a news day looks like, and I hope you caught on to a couple different things. Firstly, reporters don't always get to pick their stories. The stories, they have bosses who tell them what their stories are going to be, and guess what? Those bosses often have bosses that tell them what the news stories are going to be. And one of the important things to understand about news, it's not just about what's reported, it's about what's not reported. There's a lot of things happening in the world, and you have to make decisions about what you choose to cover and what you choose not to cover, how much time you give, where you put it. All these things are decisions that have to be made in news. Now I'm going to let you into the big secret of everything, okay? You guys ready for this? I'm going to give you the real behind the scenes of news. You ready? Yeah. First, I want to admit I was only on Guam, so I only reported once on CNN. Yeah, that was a subtle flex. All right, just once. So, I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty sure it's the same everywhere. I want you to hear this. News is a business. Oh, okay. I know, so for some of you, this is like breaking news. What? No, this is they do the news for altruistic reasons. No, they do the news to make money. That's the way it works. But to understand that, I need to give you a little bit of history about how news worked. So I can't go all the way back, but let's go back to before the printing press. How is news disseminated? Often by the town crier. The crier would be out in the middle of town, and he would say, hey, 6 months ago, a battle was fought 500 miles from here, and so-and-so won. That's how the town crier worked. But who paid the town crier? Oh, it was the lord of the area who paid him. So what do you think the town crier reported? What the lord of the manor wanted him to report. That's what he told, okay? That's what came out of his mouth. He didn't say stuff that wasn't favorable to the boss. That's how that worked. So then along comes the printing press, just revolutionizes everybody. Now everybody who has a printing press can print anything they want. They can say whatever they want. And you know what? There's one thing that a lot of times the governments don't like, and that's information being printed about whatever people want to print it about. Because once information is out there, whether it's good information or bad information, it starts to influence people. And so governments started to try to cut down on the freedom of the press, the printing press. And they started saying, oh no, you know, there's rules, restrictions. And then this crazy little country called the United States of America came along and in its First Amendment enshrined something called the freedom of the press. Now, what's important to remember, what you often think is you think, oh, they wanted it to be fair and balanced news. They wanted it to be unbiased. No, they didn't. Because the early press in the United States was almost always affiliated with a local political party. So the Republicans had their press, and the Democrats had their press, and the Whigs had their press. So the early American press was incredibly biased. Incredibly priced. And so when the founders of this country put in protection of the freedom of the press, they weren't putting in protection for a fair and balanced press. They're putting in protection for people who said unhinged things. They're putting in protection for people who said stuff you didn't want to hear, that you disagreed with. And so the press for the first 100 or more years of this country's history was very biased in every kind of different direction. But then something else comes along, this crazy technology called the radio. And so how the way radio works is there's a wavelength, but you know, there's only so much on the radio band that you can, there's only so much space. So the government came along and said, guess what? Those radio waves belong to us, the government, and we're going to regulate them. It's called the FCC. Look it up sometime. And so the FCC grants licenses because there's only so much space on the radio dial. And they said, we're going to license this out. And when you get to have your station on there, you've got to go ahead, and because it belongs to all of us, you've got to provide some kind of community service through what you do, because it can't just be all about you making money. It needs to also be a service. There needs to be some service. And so a number of different acts were passed, and along comes television that also takes that. And some of these acts are like the Radio Act of 1927, the Communications Act of 1934. You're all familiar with all these. The 1949 Fairness Doctrine. I take that for granted. I'm very familiar with them because I had to work with them. Those laws, many of them still carried through to my time. And so the Fairness Doctrine, just in very simple terms, basically says if I invite a political candidate from this side of the aisle to come on to my television news, I have to invite the candidate on the other side to have equal time because, again, the government owns the airwaves, and so therefore we have to be fair. And we have to be as unbiased as we possibly can. Now, here's the little secret here. There is no way that news can ever be fair and balanced. It's just the way it is. And I know some of you are like, no. I watch Fox. It's fair and balanced. I watch CNN. They report it correctly. I watch MSNBC. Whatever. You pick it. You go, I know. And you know what that tells me? It tells me which way you're biased. That's all that does. It just tells me they do the news the way I like it. And I know some of you are like, right, ready to come up here and grab me and go, that's not true. It is. Trust me. I know this because I worked in news. And I knew when I was getting it right, when I was the most unbiased that I could be, which I did my best, was when both sides were really angry at me. But usually when one side was happy with me, I was like, oh, I might have slanted a little bit more that way than I meant to. Because generally as people, we don't see our own bias. We don't see what's going on. We're like, no, this is just the way life needs to be. And so we generally like the news that we have. So we're going to break into this sermon with a breaking news thing here for you. Breaking news, there is a black Hyundai Santa Fe that needs to move. And if you are the black Hyundai Santa Fe, just wait for about 30 seconds so you're not obvious. And then go ahead and, you know, when you see someone else get up and go move your car. I'm not sure where it is, but apparently it does need to move. Now we resume our regular scheduled program. All right. I might have done that once or twice in my career. All right. So we all like the news that we like, and we usually don't recognize that. We usually are like, no. My station, my newspaper, my website is fair. So here's another technological change that came along that really started to mess with this ideal that Americans had that news was supposed to be fair and honest and unbiased. Because we had that up until this little thing called the 24-hour news cycle came along. This is when CNN was born and when news started lasting all 24 hours, because now all of a sudden you have to come up with 24 hours of news. And let me tell you, if somebody had to come up with an hour of news every day, it's hard. I mean, there's a lot happening in the world, but there's not a lot happening in the world that you're interested in. And by the way, I mentioned that news is a business, and if I can't get you to watch, I don't get a paycheck. So what do you want to watch? Oh, Ken, I want nice stories. No, you don't. And I know this because I watched our ratings dip when I did nice stories. Fact. Go look it up. Ratings dip when you do nice stories. But when you go ahead and put, if it bleeds, it leads, cops are tops, when you start putting that, people start watching. You start scaring people, they watch even more. Some of you catching on? So 24-hour news cycle comes, and how do we get people to watch for 24 hours? Well, now we're going to go ahead and start putting pundits in. We're going to put people giving their opinion of the news. And at first, it was very clearly marked. This is the news side. This is the opinion side. And have you noticed in the last couple years, it's really hard to tell the difference? When is it? When's one? When's the other? I don't know. And then this other crazy thing came along called the internet. And now suddenly everybody can have their own blog. Everybody can be their own reporter. Everybody can have their own podcast. Everybody can have their own website. And the government can't completely regulate that because everybody has access to it. And so suddenly we find ourselves back where we began at the very beginning of this country's history, where everything is very partisan and pushing in one direction or the other. And if I'm going to tell you my honest opinion, I don't have a problem with partisan news. I don't have a problem with it being biased. I just wish people would be honest about which way they're coming from. That's what I'd like to hear. Yeah, we come from this side of things. We're coming from that viewpoint. Because what gets confusing is when I'm like, wait a minute, which one are you coming from? Because I'm not 100% sure. So this whole thing with news, with the internet, with 24-hour news cycle, unlike 200 years ago, you are being saturated with biased opinion that needs you to click, that needs you to watch so that it can make money, so that people can get paid and people can eat. And so they're going to do what they need to do to keep you coming back. And what we see is people are coming back to the news and they're spending so much time doom scrolling through the news, right? Through the social media. Oh, can you believe this has happened? Oh, can you believe it? And it's like the world is terrifying. It's scary. And you know what it is? And you know what is also terrifying? We're watching people's anxiety rates shoot through the roof. We have an absolute epidemic of anxiety around the world and in the United States. People are anxious. And it's been studied. In a 2022 article by Charlotte Huff on the American Psychological Association's website, Huff report, she took a number of different studies. And what they showed is the more, and I'm just condensing this, the more news you watch, the worse your psychological health is. Anybody surprised? No. The more news you put in, the less psychologically healthy you are. In fact, in some of these studies, what they noticed is that people were suffering from PTSD from watching so much news, because your brain can't tell the difference from being there and watching it on your television or on your screen of your phone. And people are suffering and they're hurting. Steve Stosny watched this phenomenon happen as a psychologist. And he works with people who are going through trauma. And he watched this news. And here's what he says, working with people who are going through this. He says, news lowers your coping capacity so that normally you'd cope with things you'd cope with okay, you're not coping with okay anymore. And so for those of you who are a little bit older, can you think back 15 or 20 years ago, and does it feel like it's harder to cope with the world around you right now? No surprise, it's because you're more saturated with news than you ever have been before. And bad news creates anxiety, depression, fear. And yet Jesus had something to say about that. Jesus said, when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Then he added, nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes, and there'll be famines and plagues in the land, and there'll be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from the heavens. People will be terrified of what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. That's from Luke 21, 9 through 11, and verse 26 there at the end. Family, for 2,000 years, Jesus has been absolutely correct. And we're only becoming more afraid, more terrified, because we can see what's happening not in just our slice of the world, but all over the world. And yet Jesus says, don't panic. Don't panic. I want to talk about how we can maybe not panic in a little bit, because I believe this, as we get closer and closer to Jesus coming, it's just going to ramp up. It's not going to slow down. And if I were going to tell you what the bad news is today, is it's this: the bad news isn't going away. The bad news isn't going away. The bad news is here to stay until Jesus returns and makes this earth new again. Paul tells us, talking to Timothy, what the last days will look like. People will love only themselves. Sound familiar? So we can put a check by that one. They'll love themselves and their money. They'll be boastful. They'll be proud. They'll scoff at God. They'll be disobedient to their parents. They'll be ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They'll slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends. They'll be reckless. They'll be puffed up with pride. They'll love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they'll reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. The first time I really understood that passage or really experienced it was about 30 years ago when I was watching a pastor give a sermon. And with every single one of those, he put a celebrity or politician's face that went along with whatever one was being mentioned there. And I thought I could do that today, but then I thought, isn't it easy to poke at other people? Isn't it a little harder to look in the mirror? Are any of those things on my list of who I am? Do I trust more in my money than I trust in God? Am I boastful? Would I rather hurt somebody's feelings on social media to make my point? Family. Paul, Jesus, they don't paint a pretty picture of the last days of Earth's history. And I grew up with everybody saying, this is it. Every time something, this is it, Jesus is coming. And so I've never wanted to be the preacher that said, this is it, because I don't want to be the boy that cries wolf, but I also want to say to you, this could be it. Things are getting to a point where things are pretty horrendous in this earth. And the Bible said it would happen that way. My question is, are you focused on the things that are happening, or are you focused on the person that's in control of everything ultimately? Where is your vision focused? In the last days, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. I feel a chill in the air. And I fear when I start feeling that chill come towards my heart. Am I loving well? Loving well according to 1 Corinthians 13. Being patient, being kind, putting other people's needs above my own. How's your love today? Because it's easy to say, oh, Hollywood, oh, politician. It's harder to say, oh, Ken, you got some work that needs to be done. There's some work that God needs to do in your heart. You need to allow God to do that. Family, I believe Jesus is coming soon. I do. And I hope that you do as well. Not because you're afraid, but because you feel a sense of wanting to grow and wanting the people around you to grow in their love for Jesus as well. So let me ask you a question. How do we deal with the bad news? How do we deal with a world that's just inundating us with bad news that turns our focus away from Jesus and towards the catastrophe, that makes us think, oh, even Jesus can't solve this problem? I'm going to give you some psychologist tips, and then I'm going to give you a couple of tips of my own. These psychologist tips come from that article that I talked to you about earlier in Psychology Today. So here's the first one. You can write down the stressful headlines on paper, and what the psychologist has found is when you write something down, it slows your processing down. It makes you slow down and actually think it through, and it just makes it easier to deal with. But a lot of times we just go from one horrible headline to the next, to the next, to the next, and we never really slow down and stop. So you can write down the headline. Another thing you can do is you can turn off your smartphone's news notifications. You know what? You will be okay if you do that. Trust me. I've done it on my phone. I was terrified to do it the first time I did it. It's like, how can a news person not have news on their? You'll be okay. And it'll help you more than you can believe if you have those notifications, turns out, because you don't have to know every time there's a horrendous thing that happens the moment that it happens. Which goes to another thing. Set your phone's timer for 15 minutes or start at the start of checking social media to limit the amount that you're engaged in it. I would also set a time limit on the amount of news exposure that I'm going to have. I'm going to do 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening. That'll be plenty. I would highly suggest you don't do it 15 minutes before you go to bed. Hard to go to sleep when you find out how the world is on fire. Set a strict no screens for mealtimes. I know this is a hard one, but hey, why don't you actually look at the people in your life that do love you? Why don't you spend a little bit of time having a conversation with them? Because you might talk about the politics, but you might also talk about some of the good things in your life, some of the things that matter. How about adding daily tech-free periods? We all need a rest. We all need a break. All of you know that as good as exercise is, if you run all day long, at some point you're going to run out of gas. And for some reason, we think that if our thumb's doing this all day long, we're not going to run out of gas. Another way that you can bind anxiety is by taking some kind of concrete action. Are you not happy with what you see happening in the Middle East, in Ukraine? Donate money. Donate money to organizations that are trying to help. Volunteer at your local pet shelter. Volunteer building a house for the unhoused. If you are really a political person, volunteer for the political party that you think is making the world a somewhat better place. We're going to talk about next week about whether political parties will ever fix the problem. But do something. A lot of us spend a lot of time talking about it. If you want to deal with your anxiety, do something. Do something tangible. You're like, oh, but that won't make that be. No, it might not make the biggest difference, but it will make a difference. Here's my tips. Get your news from multiple news sources. One of my favorites right now is 1440 News. Another one I do, and somebody mentioned after first service, was Ground News, GROUND. And they actually tell you the biases of each of the news feeds that they're getting, which way they're biased, and you can look at that. But get your news from a number of different places. Why? Because what that does is it keeps you from being in an echo chamber. It just repeats your biases and your prejudices back at you. And it gives you the opportunity to see where other people are coming from. And sometimes you'll say, I don't agree with you, but at least now I understand where you're coming from. How about taking a complete rest from news once a week? It's this thing called the Sabbath. Seventh-day Adventists have sometimes heard of it. What if you took a complete rest and just didn't see what was happening for a day? I bet you your psychological welfare would rebound in massive ways. And then I want you to remember the good news, but you didn't pick that one first, so there's nothing I can do for you there yet. You're going to have to come back next week. Are you kidding me? Of course I'm going to give you a little bit of good news. Jesus says this, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and a peace, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We're going to dig into that next week. But family, please remember, news is a business. The more they can get you to watch, the more money they make. If you want to go ahead and feel psychologically healthy, turn it off. I'm not saying never look at it, because I believe, I read the news every day. I pay attention to the news, let me say 6 days out of seven. So pay attention to the news, but don't make that what you're worshiping. Don't let that be what tells you the way this world really is and what's important, because there is good news, and we will talk about it next week. And for those of you who think that I didn't have a sermon on good news, right there it is. I was ready to go if you were. Family, be sure of this. In a bad news world, God is with us, even to the end of the age. I love you, family. Go love your world.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.